Feggy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 60.
Texas Victory Monday. I was like, should I start yelling? I feel like I yell too much. But just know.
Go ahead and yell.
Texas. It's a Texas Victory Monday. Reaction Monday here in the Loop Sports Radio 610. You got John Lopez. You got Figgy Fig and myself, Reginald Atitula, hanging out with you. That's right. A big time 41-21 victory by your Texans in New England. As we told you, it would happen. I'm not trying to, like, we're not tooting our own horns, but like, hey. I did feel good about that, though. I was like, hey.
Don't panic.
Do not panic.
We did have a high score for the game.
Was like, so. Yeah. And I didn't even have it this high. I'll be honest.
We didn't.
But still, 41-21, big-time victory for your Texans. Always get involved with the program by getting involved on the YouTube and the Twitch, both of those available to you. But then the text line is the place to go. 713-572-4610. Again, 713-572-4610 is the place to get involved with this. But dominant victory by your Houston Texans. Still some things to clean up as D'Amico Ryans.
Don't start with that crap.
I feel like he will always say that no matter what.
I mean, he's not wrong, but that's not what we're here to do right now. We'll do that.
He being me?
No. He being D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah, big time
victory. Your team goes to 5-1 for only the second time in franchise history. You get your first victory at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. Just a fantastic, it's got to be one of the great good feelings or one of the best feelings that you've had this season on a Monday, a reaction Monday. Lopez, how you living, brother?
All right, well, say that again. It's got to be what?
One of the best feelings that you have on a reaction Monday thus far this season.
All right, let me tell you, and I'm not going to bury the lead. You know, I like to do the sweeping headline here.
All right, here we go. Newspaper man.
And here it is. This is a Super Bowl caliber team.
Oh, we're going there.
We're going there.
I've never said that. I've said that.
Check the tape. Run the tape back. Let's go find it.
I've said they look like they could contend for the AFC Championship. They could get to the AFC Championship team level, et cetera. Please check the tape. That's what I've considered. And maybe beyond has been my go-to all year long. You want to go back in Texans history? Some of those great teams that, well, you know, great, I guess should be in air quotes. I've said they're the best team in the AFC when they were, I think it's 2011, when they were really rolling. I've never said about the Houston Texans, this is a Super Bowl caliber team. What we saw yesterday was exactly what we needed to see. Like if you put all six games together, then you look at the breadth of what the Texans have been doing. Breadth with a D, by the way.
Breadth with a D, by the way.
Okay. The best thing about working with Reggie is he's like my spirit animal.
Y'all some grammar fools.
He's my
man.
Spirit animal. He's my he's the young me. That's you know he.
I don't know if that's a compliment or not.
It may not be. In large part,
sometimes it is. Sometimes it ain't.
Exactly. In large part,
like, dog, you know what I was talking about. You got to correct me.
I'm all in on communication. Is about understanding. Yeah. So like, hey man, I understood what you meant.
When you look at the breadth of what they've done. This is a Super Bowl caliber team over the last six games. What have we wanted to see? We've wanted to see this. This is what we've wanted to see.
We have wanted to see this, and I big thank you to the Houston Texans for showing it to us. And they needed to. I don't know how I'd have felt if you did not come out and have a dominant win against a New England Patriots team. No, I don't think any of us really believed in their capability of getting some stuff done. But yeah, dominant win. But man, Super Bowl, you're willing to get to that place.
Well, yes.
Okay.
You know, because we've talked about one of the things that I kept going back to probably four or five times last week. This needs to be a paint by numbers kind of game. They painted by numbers. They came out, boom, 14-0. First drive of the game, touchdown. The defense started playing.
Yes.
We're going to get into some details of that when we have passing thoughts in about 16 minutes. And they came out. The stars showed up. And what do you have to do? If you're a Super Bowl caliber team, you have to have stars. Stephon stepped up. Joe Mixon, welcome back.
Yeah, buddy. CJ
Stroud. Oh, that number 51 is okay. Will Anderson, and that's not even counting Nico not playing. Another star that could step up as he gets better and they go down the stretch here. Maybe Kalen Bullock. You'll hear his name in about 16 minutes as well.
I'm surprised you haven't gone to your pet cats here.
And that is?
Defensive line.
Defensive line. Yeah, the interior line. Well, Will Anderson one, Daniil Hunter the other. And they set themselves up perfectly for what is going to be the teeth of their schedule, the toughest part of their schedule. So they're rolling. The stars are stepping up. They painted by numbers. They dominated an inferior team. They won the game going away in New England, as you said, the first time ever. And here comes Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers, Jared Goff, and whatever you think of Dak Prescott at this point.
If you're talking about the Cowboys, I don't know if Dak Prescott is the spike. I feel like it's all of the general waving of arms around Dak Prescott that you go, oh, okay, this is a barren landscape. Yeah. But it's not about them. We talking about these Texans. And from the text line, somebody said, shout out to OG Lopez. He called the Texans being 5-1 before the season, and damn it if he ain't right. He sure did that. And I tried to give him a lot of help behind it. And here he is. Victorious and triumphant. We don't need to gas his ego anymore.
I'll go ahead.
I know you're in on that. And 713. Okay, see, I don't want to be negative. It's a reaction Monday, a victory Monday, mm-hmm. and I don't want to like be negative. However, you came in with Super Bowl, and now you're putting me in a place where I have to feel like I'm negative.
No, you don't have to.
I can just roll with it.
Yeah.
Wait until 1 o'clock to push back.
You know, the one thing about this team, and I've been here for a while. I've been here since day one. I've never said that. I feel it. I see it.
Yeah.
You know, for all the reasons I just said.
Yeah. It's the tough thing about that is. This is a 1-1 Patriots team that we're talking about.
Dominated.
And see, that's my only pushback. I think this how it should have been.
Exactly.
They got the next couple rough weeks coming up.
Do you know how many times the Texans should have taken care of business over the last 23 years?
Oh,
and
absolutely. 100%.
And didn't. That's the thing. That's my big sweeping takeaway is like, they do what they need to do. They beat Buffalo with defense and C.J. Stroud. They lost to Minnesota. Okay, that's going to happen. They went 5-1 on the softest part of their schedule. That's exactly what they did. They had the stars show up. They're getting better. Like, there's no way you even against a 1-win team or whatever it was, there's no way you can say this team hasn't gotten appreciably better.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing that makes me the happiest is that I try in my life to employ different modes of thought that are just going to put me in a happier space.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, sometimes being right doesn't mean as much as like having a good mindset. And I have gotten myself to the place where I'm in on the D'Amico Ryan's incremental approach, right? Like, hey, just continue to get better every week. Get your W's and get better every week. And you did those things this week. You got a very very dominant W. You definitely were better in the course of this. Running the football looked significantly better. Turnover defense, what's happening? Thanks for stopping by the booth, right? And then also, like, you didn't have Nico Collins. You passed the ball pretty well. Obviously, it was kind of a little bit of a weird to say down week for C.J. Stroud throwing the football. Yeah. Didn't get to 200, although he did have 3 touchdowns for the first time this season. You got better. You made it tough on me by going to the Super Bowl space, but and that's fine. Like, if that's how you feel, that's cool. I think that will be shown more over the coming weeks. But ultimately, I got to be happy about what came down on this football field in New England, because they were not without their difficulties in the course of this. But they showed out, and they passed with flying colors ultimately to the tune of 41-21.
And you mentioned C.J. Stroud. I thought it was a very good game. I thought it was about as well as you could play, given they were running the ball like crazy too, with 2 big runs highlighting that. And C.J. Stroud had, and I forget, I think it was Andy Kalu with the Texans radio right before us. He talked about the way he looked, and I thought he did. C.J. Stroud looks like a guy that is going to do everything he needs to do, hungry, single-minded, making the plays he needs to play. So, yeah, C.J. Stroud was on top of his game.
Absolutely. All right. Let's pick the vibes back up, because I feel like I've muddled the vibes in some ways. let's go to the ultimate vibes creator, the head coach of this team, D'Amico Ryan. This is what he said to the fellas in the postgame.
Hey, man. Hey, congrats. Congrats to everybody, man. Really awesome job, right? Way to come up here, right, and do us. right? We played really well. We bought the energy. We did us well. Still, a lot to clean up, but I love the way you guys came out. Offense, 192 rushing yards. Offense, way to run the rock, man. Way to run the rock. Beautiful to see. Defense, 4 takeaways. Great job, defense. Way to hunt. And not only taking the ball away, but offense able to capitalize and score off of the takeaways. Outstanding job in special teams. We talked about being disruptive. You guys are disruptive all day, man. So great job. Special teams, offense, defense, all the way across the board. All right. For us, man, as an organization, right, we already know it's our first time with a win here. Mm-hmm. All right, first time with a win. So everybody get a game ball. Yeah. Everybody. Yeah. Game ball, everybody, man. Proud of everybody. Let's get this plane back to Houston. Let's go.
He was going to say something else, but that's not him. Compare what D'Amico said and his energy and his vibe there versus the win over
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville.
Remember that locker room was empty after that game.
Yeah,
it was quiet.
Yeah. He's feeling it. He's feeling what I'm feeling, what you're feeling, what Figgy's feeling. Like this meant something the way they played.
Did you have a moment like I did where you go, do they have them enough footballs for everybody to get game ball?
Like, I did.
I was thinking that. I'm like, what, 52?
53.
No, fantastic.
That's a lot of snaps.
Yeah, man. What portion of this was the most enriching for you? Because obviously there's a lot of things, and we'll go through very many of them. Which portion of this was the most entertaining for you? Because I do wonder if you'll go back to your Hollywood analogy from last week, and kind of tap into that.
Well, look, I think the most, you're talking about the Texans or
from
D'Amico?
the Texans in general.
From the Texans, to me, it was those bit players, what did I call them? Character actors.
The character actors.
Doing what they needed to do. Shout out, I don't know if we're going to mention his name again today, but it probably should be. Someone like D'Angelo Ross, someone like those interior defensive tackles who I know we're going to mention. How about Neville Hewitt?
Hey.
How about Neville Hewitt, the tackling machine?
Linebacker from the Jets, who's a tackling machine.
Al Shaier gets hurt, and then I saw Jonathan Alexander say, he's out of the game with a knee injury. No, he was out of the game because the Texans were rolling in the fourth quarter. Because he came back after the injury and then went out. But Neville Hewitt, damn near was the leading tackler. The character actors did what they needed to do, but the stars shone bright.
Yeah, and when we talk about stars, how are you classifying the pass catchers on this team? Because you definitely did a lot of Stephon Diggs needs to step up. Tank Dell, when you look at the passing attack with no Nico Collins, Tank Dell had 94% of the routes, and this is Dwayne McFarland tweeted this out. 94% of the routes, 30% of the targets, 28% of the air yards. Like, he took up a big swath of what was happening. And then Stephon Diggs had a similar accounting for this with 37% of the air yards. And that's considering much of his work was done against Christian Gonzalez, their best defender.
And I thought they made catches that not that they were incapable before, that I thought they stepped up and made catches on the turf, diving on the ground. They really... Both of them. Tank Dell had one. Stephon Diggs on his touchdown, I believe. A tough catch, to the ground that you had to scoop. I thought they absolutely, Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell were big time in terms of just replacing what Nico was doing.
Yeah, and what's funny is that, and I probably should get the D'Amico audio of this here, but yeah, man, they did what is expected of them. And if you can give me D'Amico 13 here when speaking about these wide receivers. These guys, we talked about, and some people kind of mentioned it as a step up, and D'Amico kind of alludes to that a little bit here.
Yeah, it wasn't surprising to see Steph and Tank step up and make the plays. I hate to say that they're stepping up. Right? It's just they maximize their opportunities. That's who those guys have been. So to say step up is probably an understatement for these guys. They're playmakers as well, and that's what they've been. Tank in his short career has been a playmaker for us, and so we all know what Diggs has done throughout his career of being a top guy. So not surprising at all.
Not surprising, but very, very much needed. And there was a part of us, I was going to say me, but I think most of us were in the same group asking, can they do that? You know, are they going to step up and really fill the void? Yeah, they do.
Yeah. And, I mean, you mentioned some of the bit players, I guess, for lack of a better term. We were expecting a little bit more out of, like, the likes of Xavier Hutchinson and other things. I mean, it basically was just more targets for the three dudes that are typically there but that are now have more space, which was 7 targets for Diggs, 9 targets total for Tank Dell, and then 8 targets for Dalton Schultz. They were just like, hey, we don't have to make this more difficult than it need be. Like, we'll give it more to these guys and then also have the run game producing a higher level to balance all this out.
And Bobby Slowick needed this game. Because that was the second part of that story. Is Bobby Slowick going to be able to dial up you know, what he needed to do to get these guys in position to be able to fill those that void? And absolutely Bobby Slowick did. I thought it was, I'll say it again, you know, beginning to end. I mean, it was paint by numbers. They did what they needed to do. And I think myself and a lot of people around here, around these parts, have realized that was a game where you're like, the Texans are going to lose this. They should win, but they're going to lose this. No, they did what they needed to do.
Yeah, man. So again, 5-1, best start since 2012. So, I mean, and this is the second time in franchise history you have a 5-1 start, tied for the most wins in the NFL this season. And the 41 points against New England, tied for the most the team has ever recorded in a road game. So, like, all of these things.
Yeah.
You have all sorts of bests, and you can say whatever about the opponent on the other side, but just making those things happen when you are going up against an opponent of that caliber
is worth celebrating. Did they exercise the letter jacket demons?
It's possible. It's possible. Like, now when you think about New England, you have something else that you can call to memory, which is nice. But ultimately, it's a Texas victory Monday because the Texans get a victory, 41-21 versus the Patriots in Foxborough. Tons more. We have only scratched. Have we even scratched the surface at this
point?
We're
just barely scratching the surface.
There's so much to get into on a Reaction Monday here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. And coming up next, we get a little deeper. This time, we'll get into OG's passion thoughts. That'll happen next. Sports Radio 610.
Experience, wisdom, opinions, barbecue sauce. Our guy Lopez has it all and shares it with you.
I used to go into the clubhouse and I just
It's time for the OG's passing thoughts.
Tell me a story, OG.
All right. Passing thoughts. The first one. While we're in the mode of giving me a lot of credit for things I said last
week. Who said all that? Wait on.
I need to find a way to discredit Chief.
Yeah, exactly. We need to knock him down at this point.
Those are y'all words, not mine.
I got something, too.
Give me credit. Excellent. I said paint by numbers. What was the other one you mentioned?
You mentioned 5-1.
Another thing I said, Joe Mixon's going to play.
You did say that. Damn, and I did. I heard it too. I sure did hear that. Like, actually, I need to get some of the Mixon audio. Yeah. Let me see. I got to find it. I'll make sure to double back up this at some point.
But
he was asked about you know, being back in this game and doing what he was doing and like when he knew that he'd be able to do that. And he stopped the question was like, hey, I just want you to know, I've been on the field and like. You got the audio here?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and hear this.
It felt great. Obviously, you know, without the linemen and fullback and receivers and tight ends being in sync and, you know, being locked in on them blocks, bro, like, that don't happen for me. So I'm just happy that everybody trusts in this scheme and trusts in everybody's technique and doing everything the right way. So it was a great thing, great feeling. And, you know, I just thank God that, you know, we got out with the dub and I ended up healthy at the end of the game.
That's a grateful Joe Mixon. It's another clip that I didn't cut, but I know that Sean and Seth had it this morning before Texas Radio, and Seth mentioned on it, like, when you pair that with the audio that we were kind of parsing on Friday, it did seem like he was kind of chomping at the bit to get back, and you definitely had that perspective.
Well, what I was really getting at on the passing thoughts is this. What if they have a 1-2 punch in the backfield?
Oh, with Akers? With your boy Akers?
There we go.
I'm off of Akers.
Good job, man.
No, I didn't make any predictions.
Yeah.
I didn't make any predictions on Akers. I said I thought he was better.
If it was up to you, Pierce wouldn't even be on this team.
How'd that 54-yarder feel? Hold that.
Okay, but you digress, Figgy. What if they have a 1-2 punch?
It's a good question. I mean, D'Amico Ryan's used that word of like 1-2 punch as well. I'm super excited for the coach's show today as well to hear more of his thoughts on this one.
Yeah.
That would be a great thing to have, is to have a 1-2 punch. And I think that it was also impacted by Bobby Slowick. I think he filtered in a little bit more gap scheme type stuff. One of the things that we were wondering if does Dameon Pierce coming back kind of force them, or maybe not force them, but lead them to do some things that might actually be good for them?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of looked like they did some of those things. So it's possible, especially if Dameon can have the opportunity to break runs like that.
Yeah, yeah. Another passing thought here. Not all of them are always going to be on the field related, and this one is not. This might have been the best uniform game of the year, certainly for the Texans and maybe the NFL. Between those Patriots uniforms, those gorgeous. Are sweet.
They're gorgeous. Yeah.
And the Texans uniform, that's a great look on the Texans.
There's a good set of throwbacks in the league right now, because you have that one with the Patriots. You have the Seahawks throwbacks that are cool. You have the creamsicles, and I'm missing one that I really like. But you've got a nice set of throwbacks.
That was a big time uniform game. That was a big. And then throw in the H-Town logo on the hoodies. They had a little spice.
That was like, look, the white jerseys that the Texans wore, cool. Yeah. I didn't feel like I needed to remark on that. Those hoodies
were
badass. I need one of them. Yeah. Like with the, I don't know, is that like the really deep blue or whatever that they've got? The
deep steel
blue.
But
it basically looked black with the red H. I was like, oh, okay, this is tough. I need one of those.
It's a damn shame the Patriots had to get their ass whooped in those throwbacks, man.
That was a good uniform.
No, that's the reason why you get whooped in those, because it makes it feel just a little bit better for you.
Exactly. Another passing thought here, and again, this is just stream of consciousness as I'm watching the game. Was not having Nico in the lineup a blessing in disguise?
I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Yeah. No, sir. Because they still weren't all that great on third down in this game.
But I'm talking about specifically to Stephon and Tank.
Well, I mean, it was, I'm sure it was good for Tank, because he just had more opportunities, or ops, as they like to call it. More room to apply his trade. And then you saw him get into his bag when it came to making difficult catches and those types of things. But I do think that overall, offensively, passing wise, you probably look better. And I mean, that's not a bold thing to say.
Yeah.
If Nico's there, so I won't say it's a blessing in disguise.
Well, nobody would want it.
You managed to make a shake.
Nobody would want it. Certainly wouldn't want it to happen. But it was a passing thought. This is just stuff that pops into my head.
Fair enough.
Like this. I feel like Jimmy Ward and Kamari Lassiter sent a very clear message to D'Amico and Nico and Nick Caserio. You got to go out and find something in the defensive backfield. You got to go find something. Eric Murray had the pick and all that.
He didn't have the pick.
But he was not good.
In coverage,
He was not good. And, you know, I guess, you know, your cornerback opposite Derek held up okay, but I feel like they need something in the secondary.
The secondary, obviously, if you're going to have injuries, you're going to have questions. That's something that we've seen all the way since back at camp. You knew you did not have the depth that would have made you feel great. And it is a war of attrition type sport. I don't know if that's something that we could really speak to right now. That feels like something that you deal with once you get to the postseason, because I don't know that you're making any level of trades, right? We're talking depth as opposed to kind of starting pieces. So I hear you. Yeah. I just don't know what we're supposed to do at this moment. You know, you feel what I'm saying?
Yeah. I feel, here's another note. I get you. I just feel like if you're going to be a Super Bowl contender, which, you know, I feel like they are now, you got to do those tweaks. Another passing thought here. You know how? We can talk about this show. This show hit the ground running, but about 2 weeks in, we felt like we're here. We're comfortable. We're in a groove. I thought of us in a very weird way with Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson. I feel like
were we just chopping wood? Is that what you're saying? We were just carrying water and chopping wood.
Like they were good from the start. But I feel like they got comfortable yesterday, like with who they are. I
feel like they're hitting their stride.
And how they're playing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like we're going to talk about Will Anderson, of course. But it's like they just looked like this is how we do it.
Well, some of that. And I don't want to take any credit away from the defense, because they were so good, especially the defensive line. That offensive line for the Patriots looked like
And I said that last week. I'm like, they should have about 7 sacks against that offense.
They tried, man. They tried. In fact, Fatu Kasi off the line one of those times was touching Drake May as he was turning around to hand the football off, to the point where I was like, did he even know he was back there?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he got back there so quick, I wonder if he knew that he was, like, oh, wait, where am I?
Yeah.
Who am I?
Yeah. Another one here. Danico Autry or no Danico Autry, and he is returning this week.
Mario, or at least he's eligible to return this
week. Yeah, eligible to return. Mario Edwards has to be in the mix. Like absolutely. Just has to be in
strong
the mix.
Agree. For a moment, and I don't know if I was wilding because, again, my brethren, Fatu Kasi, Nigerians, you know, we got to stick together.
I understand.
But for a moment, I was like, is it possible that you end up with Danico and Mario together on the offense, on the defensive line for a good amount of time? And, I mean, that's a wonderful place to be that you have those guys. You probably rotate all of them in and feel great. And that's still feeling good because you have Settle and Khalil Davis have covered themselves in glory in their moments. So like I think that you've got a really strong middle of the defensive line, especially because Danico Autry brings something that you've needed, which is a dude who also does a really great job cleaning up some of these run things.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm here for that. Once that actually comes to fruition.
Quick one here, and shout out to the schedule makers. I think the Patriots have themselves a quarterback.
Agree.
I think they have themselves a quarterback.
Now, to what degree is a question, because the second half, he got comfortable, and we'll talk more about it. I'll nitpick at this a little bit. I think that you might have over-blitzed him. Like, I think that you were going with the game plan of, hey, that's a rookie quarterback. What do you do with rookie quarterbacks? Blitz him. Heat him up and see what he can do with it.
Yeah.
And Drake May, what that did was he was able to kind of stand back there and feel comfortable and use his legs to kind of a pretty good pocket management, mind you.
He looks the part.
Use his legs, and then you had easy things on the backside because there were blitzes, and now you're dealing with like zero coverage half the time, or maybe not half the time, but a decent amount of time. And now the read is easy. Now, can he stand in there and read a defense if they're actually showing him an NFL level coverage?
And there's tape on him too now,
right?
You know,
but he handled that part, like the very entry level part of it, as well as he possibly could, considering the team that he had around.
Yes. Kalen Bullock might just be one of those dudes that the ball always finds.
Turnover defense.
He's a guy that I think is just going to, the ball's going to come to him at some point in a lot of games. I think Kalen Bullock has that knack. Just my thought watching him over the course of six games and specifically yesterday, I think he's one of those guys that he may have some shortcomings here and there. Maybe not, but he may have some. But I think he's going to be a guy that's just always around the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things in sports. I try and like stick to the rivers and lakes that I feel comfortable with statements that are based largely in fact and stats.
Yeah, there's no EPA involved in my take.
No, but this is one of those ones in sports that I actually feel comfortable making, which is just seems to have a nose for the football.
No,
it just he just seems to always be around the football, and I kind of agree. He just always seems to be there, doesn't he?
I think the ball finds him.
Fair enough.
It's not even just the nose for the football. I think there are guys that the ball just finds you.
This has been your edition of Sports Cliches right here on Sports Radio 610.
Here's one that's maybe not all sunshine and roses. I don't think there's anybody on this team. There is a number two, but I don't think there's anybody on this team that makes me more nervous than Tommy Townsend. He makes me nervous.
Really?
I don't trust him to come up kick with the big punt when he needs to.
This man boo-booing on the kicker. That's or the punter in this instance.
He just makes me nervous. It's what I feel. It's passing thoughts. And you know who's second?
My opinion.
You know who's number two on that list?
I would like to hear this.
Dalton Schultz.
Well.
Makes me nervous.
Yeah. That one I can go with you on.
That might be number one.
It is number one. I don't know. He just wanted to be weird and bring up Tommy. I don't know. You got a beef with Tommy Townsend at this point.
He just makes me nervous. Just makes me nervous.
Yeah. You got a beef with Tommy Townsend. But no, Dalton Schultz, absolutely.
I don't know what's going on, man.
Clint's been hard on him now. I think it was operating from tough love, but he's been hard on him when it comes to kind of his demeanor on the field and seeming like maybe he's just like not giving 100 or not feeling like he's, finishing plays or whatever. And all right, I can understand how maybe you feel that way, especially if you're not in the flow of everything to the degree that you want to. And of course, this is all speculation. I'm not saying that this is definitively what's happening. But assuming that that's the case, when you're getting all these targets, you better catch them.
Yeah. And that interception that
I'm putting that on CJ. Throwing back across his body and you're putting it behind him.
Go get the ball,
man. You're putting
it
behind
him. He was passive on it with his hands. They were right by his chest. Go get the ball. I got two more for you real quick. And we have to talk about, and we'll talk about this when we nitpick later, but don't ignore in victory moments, end of first half penalties, giving up that late TD, missed field goal, and the interception. I was never in doubt. This game to me was never in doubt, not even at 14-7.
No.
But
it was in frustration, though.
Yeah. Wasn't in doubt, but it was in frustration.
Yeah, yeah. They had a point in time where they had a few drives that they did not get more than 14 yards on.
Yeah.
In the middle of this game. And it's just like, hey, guys, why are you stalling out in this way? You went from 4.5-minute drives in the first couple of possessions to quick 1.5-minute drives. Yeah. Giving the ball back to the other side. That's frustration.
And then this final passing thought, it ties in directly with how we started the show, and I feel like this is a Super Bowl caliber team. If turnovers are added to the mix with this defense, if they become a turnover defense, which they really hadn't created a lot.
Cancel Christmas.
Woo, baby. It's on. If they can start creating turnovers like they did yesterday, it's on.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
We're just getting going here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610 on a victory. Reaction Monday here. Texas win 41-21. And coming up next, let's get into the question of the day, which, as you might imagine, is going to be Texas related. What was the single most important play of this game? 713-572-4610. We got some potentials. We'll talk about all that next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yep. Victory Reaction Monday here in the Loop. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and Reginald Atitula hanging out with you. We are having a blast. And the question of the day is this. What was the most important play of a 41-21 victory for your Texans over the Patriots in New England, moving them to 5-1? And there's some clear possibilities within this. Mm-hmm. Lopez, what for you first comes to mind as the biggest play of this game?
The biggest play of the game to me didn't even have an impact on the outcome. But it was the biggest play of the game because...
Is this possibly highlight 13 here?
It is highlight number 13. And when I saw this, I'm sitting there watching the game and I go, All right.
Stroud under center. First down, Texans at the Houston 19-yard line. One back. It's Mixon. And Mixon shot out of a cannon. Left side, 25-30. 35-40. 50 left sideline. The 40 of New England. Can he do it? The 30. And he's tripped up inside the 20-yard line.
Welcome
Joe
back.
Joe Mixon, what a run deep into New England territory.
Welcome back, Joe Mixon.
That's Andre, right. I said the exact same words. The exact same words. I wasn't listening to the radio at the time, but I was like, welcome back, big fella. He is a game changer. He is going to make this team so much better offensively. And I say it didn't even impact the final score because the next play was...
Two plays later,
was the pass to Dalton Schultz that he should have caught.
I'm still putting that on CJ, but okay.
And ended up being an interception. Didn't impact a damn thing, but I just kind of sat back in my chair like Stephen A. smoking that cigar with the cowboy hat. Anytime the Cowboys lose, I was like, all right, this is the way it's supposed to be.
Man, I think that one definitely established that, oh, this is going to be a game where they can run the football. And we'll talk a lot more about that here in about 30 minutes or so. But yeah, for sure. I thought that one impacted the game in a big way. But I don't know if that one came to me as the biggest play of the game. I know that Sean and Seth this morning threw this one up, and you know me, I'm going to lean on some analytics when it comes to like the biggest.
What are your favorite three letters?
EPA. I don't even know if that's true, but I'm going to lean into the big.
No, it is. It's true.
When it comes to the best EPA play, and I think this play, and this is highlight number 23, I believe, here, Fig. This play ended up being the most impactful statistically, but I think also narratively, I can get you there.
Toa with the close, green though. Dot calling defensive signals. May gets the snap. He's got a little time, and now he's sacked. The ball is out. Hunter got it out, and Edwards recovers at the 10-yard line. Strip sack.
Drake May is still down.
Yeah, man, that's Neil Hunter getting on the board with a sack in this game. Totaled 4 sacks in this one, right? Like three from Will, and then Danil on the other side. Those boys getting after the young quarterback. And in this one in particular, like, you got the ball back in a time where your offense started scuttling a little bit, right? You came out first couple possessions, touchdown, big long drives, controlling time of possession. Everything is good. Everything's gravy. You know, life is good. Then in the next few possessions, you've got a missed field goal after you actually had a decent drive there, but then an interception, and it's like, hey, man, you're not really getting to that place where it's looking good. that is the second or third play in the third quarter, like coming out of half, like, hey, let's get into this place. You get the ball back in New England territory, and now you go and you score the touchdown. And so you go from a 14-7 game where you had dominated the game, but for some reason the Patriots are close enough that this is reasonably a game.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go, oh, no, well, let's reestablish the dominance of what we are doing here. Get the offense back going on track. And then after that touchdown on the short field, you get field goal, and now you're moving back towards the dominant win that you get. That one shifted this in a big way.
No, that's definitely on the list, because exactly what you said, you know, and that's what also, you know, those teams that are true contenders do. It's like, hey, I feel like the game's in control, but the scoreboard doesn't say as much.
Yes.
You know, so let's go ahead and
make the scoreboard
get
right.
Control again.
Let's
go ahead and get control again. I feel like that is another sign of what these types of teams can do.
Oh, people want us to have the Dalton Schultz conversation right now. I see you on the text line. I sure do. But let's keep talking about these big plays. Unless someone wants to put forward that Dalton Schultz interception as a big play in the course of this. Because, look, that is, as I just alluded to, as I'm looking at the possession chart, that is where you start getting to a place where your offense is then beginning to scuttle on a pass that is, I mean, it hits Dalton in the hands. And I know that as a dude who played wide receiver, not at no level that matters in a big way. I want to make that abundantly clear. Don't y'all being like, oh, Reggie played wide receiver. Yeah. Nah, it's not going to matter.
Let me tell you about my high school career.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Everybody's got their high school career that they can point to. But as a dude who played wide receiver at some point, like, I have always heard the idea that, hey, if it hits you in the hands, you should catch it.
Or go get the ball. Like, that person was the big, why we're having the conversation.
Let's do it. I was like, let's do it. Let's just do it. Why not?
Back in my day.
Yeah.
No, we're having the conversation where we're going to save for later, but
Dalton Schultz on that wheel route off of the end, right? He gets open at the 10-yard line. He is open. CJ throws him the ball, and it is behind him, right? It is behind him, and you have basically an elevator effect, as I'm thinking about it, where you have the cornerback who is underneath because Dalton is beating him over the top, and you have the safety closing in, and you have that ball in between there, and I hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm. He probably should be able to fight back. He has an opportunity to put his foot in the ground. Don't show saying wide receiver, though. And I understand what you're going to say. Well, he's a pass-catching tight end.
Yeah.
But he's a pass-catching tight end in the way that I'd like point to Jason Witten being a pass-catching tight end. Like, he's supposed to be kind of like assured hands, maybe not like jump ball guy. Yeah. And we can have the whole conversation later if you want to about how much are you paying a guy that's not capable of doing all those things. Fair enough, touche. But I think in that particular moment, that's more about CJ throwing across his body and not putting that ball probably where you would want to. Now, is it a tough throw to put the ball where you want to? Absolutely. But I think that one is probably more on CJ than it is Dalton.
Well, you mentioned the contract, and I think that's going to be my pushback on your point there and why Dalton Schultz is a very, very frustrating player right now, if we're just being honest. As I said earlier, by the way, people want to have a Tommy Tonsen discussion as well, but we're not going to go there. I said earlier, you know, the players that scare me the most are Tommy Tonsen and Dalton Schultz. That's what scares me, and that's my pushback for you.
Yeah.
You didn't give him the contract so he could go block fools. You didn't give him the contract.
And if you did, I bet you're feeling a little salty about it.
Yeah. You didn't give him the contract for any reason other than to go get the ball. Maybe he's not the best pass catching, you know, elite tight end in the league, but that's why you gave him that contract. That's why he's here, to fill that role. And it wasn't just one, you know, just one play.
And that's my thing is that play, I'll say I'm not putting on Dalton. Oh, buddy, do I got heat from Dalton Schultz, though, in other instances. Yeah. If we'll get to that in the nitpick at 1 p.m. But let's get back on track here as we talk about what was the biggest play in the course of this game. And it feels like a few people have brought this one up here, Fig. I think you were ready to bring this up yourself, which is, hey, man, welcome back not just to one running back, but to this other one, Damian Pierce. Mm-hmm.
First down, Texans at the Houston 46. Clock at 8 minutes to go. 13-point lead. Here's a toss to Pierce. Running right. Pierce across the 50. Pierce breaks the tackle. 45, 40, right sideline. The 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Rock and roll. He's got the touchdown. Damian Pierce to the house.
You think Andre was excited about that one?
He was doing that Figgy stuff.
Yeah.
You think Andre was excited about that one?
Not only Pierce got a rock and roll out of Mark Vandermeer, I think that might have been the first rock and roll this year.
It might have been.
And he also had Andre Ware going nuts.
He's playing the drums out there on the counter, on the table.
on an outside zone.
How
about that? Yeah. Shout out to that man. I don't know this is the most important, but one of the things that I can point to is I've talked about it. Like, you got into some of the gap scheme things. I think you mixed that kind of nicely with some kind of inside trap type stuff. Don't give me the lion on telling you exactly offensive line blocking scheme stuff. Yeah. But it feels like that is some of the stuff that seems to be working pretty well with this offensive line. And I think some of that is in order to accommodate and make Damian Pierce his best self. And I think all of that helped. I don't know if I'm willing to say that that's the biggest play by any means, but it was fun to see him get back on.
Well, that was the dagger, wasn't it? That was. I think that ended up putting him up 40, getting their 41. But nevertheless, I mean, the Patriots were still playing defense. I mean, they still had their group out there. And it kind of got me to think what I said during passing. What if they have a 1-2 punch, man?
It's possible. It is possible.
Cam Akers, how many did he have?
We get your point.
But do you, though? Do you get the point?
I ain't going to lie, man. When I seen this and seen how happy Andre Ware was, I thought about last season, man.
For sure.
So, Reggie, you don't know about this, but Andre Ware actually had some beef with the OG. He actually called him out on air during the broadcast.
He's not the only one.
I got to play this for you, man. This was last season when Damian Pierce was struggling, and this show was actually asking for him to be benched or traded. I don't know what it was, but this is what he had to say with Damian Pierce. I think he made like a 12-yard run or something like that.
Pierce breaking tackles over right guard down to the 25-yard line. That's vintage Damian Pierce running for an 11-yard gain and a first down.
I want every radio host in the city to hear me and hear me well.
Ooh.
Keep criticizing Damian Pierce.
Ooh.
Keep saying that he's not the same guy
Lopez.
He was a year ago. Because he's showing you something right now today. Keep doing it.
Yep, just getting started. It's week four.
It's week four, and they've already ready to put this guy in a plastic bag and mail him off somewhere. Give me a break.
How did that work out, by the way?
Oh, wow. Doubling down.
How did that work out?
Hey, you want me to play this highlight?
No, I'm just asking. I forgot. Figgy, help me out. How did that work out?
John P. Lopez.
Did he get demoted? I can't remember.
Davis Singletary has something to say about that.
Oh, okay. Hey, I'm happy for that dude. I am happy for that dude.
I think that's the thing behind that play. Yeah. We are happy for that cat. Yeah. I don't think that there's anybody who's not happy for him, even if folks do not believe in his ability to do that consistently, I guess.
But what if?
What if? That is the fun situation that was put into mind. Another one that came to mind, the Bullock interception. I think just because of what you talked about, and I think what it might portend for the season, that they might be getting themselves back into turnover defense territory, which would be really fun. I don't know if there was any other ones that came in during the course of this, but man, what a victory, 41-21 over the Patriots Texans. Most points they've scored on the road ever.
I think most in the regular season since like 2021.
You love to see it.
Yeah,
you
so do going love on to see 2.5 years.
Texans victory reaction Monday, brought to you by Shoppers John Deere here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. All right, coming up next, let's get a more well-rounded view of this weekend from the NFL. Let's go around the NFL and talk about what was a more normal week in the NFL. We'll do it next.